Bending Light, Chapter 12. Draco's heels click on the familiar polished parquet as he grips his wand tightly in his slick palm. Dread surrounds him like a tangible thing. There had been a sound, something that had soured his stomach and caused panic to roil in his veins. What had it been? Where had it come from? He picks up his pace. Portraits of his ancestors a blur as he almost jogs down the hall. He hears voices, a sickening hiss, a rumble of laughter. And then a scream, pure as crystal and sharp as a shard of glass, driven cruelly into soft skin. He gasps and breaks into a run. That was the sound. Oh God, he has to get to her. He's running flat out now, but the doorway is always just ahead, unreachable. And the screams are multiplying, one on top of another in an unrelenting wave. He feels hot tears spill down his face. His heart clenches. He reaches out, trying to grip a doorway, pull himself forward, but he slips and falls, pitching downward as a vision of her contorted face rips through his mind. His impact with the floor is a swift, brutal jolt. Draco sat up with a gasp, his eyes stretched wide and his fingers clutching his soaked sheets. He looks around wildly, his ears reaching for the sound, the screams. But there was nothing. All was silent and still. He was in his bedroom, in the flat, in San Cipriano. Theo was in the next room. Draco made himself breathe, in and out, as memory rose up past the breathless terror of the nightmare. The party. He'd had too much to drink. So much to drink that he hadn't bothered with the dreamless sleep potion Blaze had bought. An obvious mistake. He flopped back against his pillows and ran a rough hand through his hair. Swallowing heavily, he allowed his brain to travel back over the terrain of the dream, now that he was firmly grounded in reality. Much of it was familiar. The manner, the dread, the inability to do anything about the violence happening just out of frame. But the screams, and their owner, they were new. Hermione. Fuck. He scrubbed his hands across his face and rubbed his eyes, and then his temples. What had he been thinking? And doing. He'd almost kissed her tonight, at the sink and in the doorway as they were saying goodbye. And the way he'd looked at her and talked to her, in front of everyone. Fucking mad and reckless. It couldn't go on. The thought had a flavour of finality, though it brought an immediate wash of pain and frustration with it. Impulsively, he flipped over and grabbed a vial off his nightstand. He'd never get back to sleep otherwise. Uncapping it, he drank the whole thing before he could second-guess himself, the taste of sweet anise and mallow chasing down his throat with the promise of oblivion. He wiped his mouth and barely had time to turn over before a black tide swamped him and his eyes fluttered shut. Draco woke the next morning with a splitting headache and a renewed sense that he had gone too far the night before. He lay quietly, reviewing the nightmare and the events preceding it, his regret and restlessness growing until he finally pushed up out of bed and made a trek through the silent flat for water and muggle pain pills. Settling into an armchair, he stared unseeingly at the wreck of the sitting room. Dirty glasses, cigarette butts, and half-full bottles on every surface. Moments of what had happened there the night before flashing through his mind. Fuck. Fuck, fuck! What had happened to distance? To protecting people by keeping the hell away from them? What had happened to his famous reserve, constructed meticulously, mercilessly, in his boyhood by Lucius, and so well honed over the last vicious year? Why couldn't he turn that switch on? Why hadn't he? He moved up impatiently and strode down the hallway to the bathroom for a shower, his fingers at his temples. Turning on the taps, he fretted while the water warmed, his anger at himself growing. It had been entirely too loose and free, and the dream had come in like some dark portent to remind him of what that could mean. He got in, letting the water sluice over him, and thought about the last few weeks. He had been going to the cafe too much, and it was time to stop. Stop seeking out excuses to talk to her. Stop trying to find time alone with her. Blaze was here now, so he could just focus on his social life. Hanging his head, Draco let the water wash over the back of his neck, staying that way for a few moments, his fists balled, already grieving a kind of loss. But then he forced himself upright. He could still flip that switch, damn it. He was in deep, yes, too deep, but he could call on his upbringing and his core, his cool Slytherin base. Despite his anguished thoughts, he felt his lips lift at the memory of her theory, and his heart swell at the memory of her gifts, her soft words and teasing face throughout the night. But then he pulled his features into grim lines. He looked up and let the water beat directly down on his face, allowing the horrific idea of that light, her light, being dimmed or snuffed out to strengthen his resolve. He could do this. He could pull away and not look back. It was for the best, for everyone, but especially for her. But then he slumped, reaching an arm out to brace himself against the wall, letting the water pour over his bowed head in a torrent, allowing himself one last moment of debilitating regret and dismay, an almost childish complaint at the unfairness of it all. But then an echo of the scream from his nightmare ran through his mind, and he straightened, cutting the shower off with a shake of his head. He could do it, and he would. The next few days saw Draco very committed to this new course of action, avoiding the cafe and any other situations where he might interact with Hermione. It didn't feel good, but it felt right. And when Blaze came over and made the expected comments about Draco's behaviour the night of the party, it only strengthened Draco's vow. Because surprisingly, Blaze's words were more gentle than mocking, and far more disturbing for that reason.
"Granger, what a surprise,"
he said with a sidelong glance as they settled into the armchairs and looked out at the spectacular sunset. Draco tensed.
"Yeah?" "Yeah, I actually liked hanging out with her."
Blaze took a drink of wine as he blinked at the pinks and oranges in the sky.
"I guess this war is changing us all."
The last statement was accompanied by the full power of his dark eyes on Draco's. And Draco knew then that he had been rumbled completely. Blaze not only knew, but he knew that it went beyond something as simple as lust, or boredom, or proximity.
"I'm stepping back," Draco said after several moments of tense silence. "It's too dangerous for anyone to be involved with me like that, but especially her." "Okay."
Blaze was quiet for a long beat.
"But it might not be that simple."
"It should be," Draco exploded. "I don't know why she even gives me the time of day. She should fucking hate me." Blaze made a sound of exasperation and sympathy.
"Have you talked to her about all that?"
"I apologised." Draco tipped his head back.
"Briefly. I told her I'd been changing my opinions for a while now." "And?" "She thanked me for telling her. They went right on being herself. I wish she would have yelled at me or pushed me or something." "She may yet."
Blaze's smile flashed.
"Ha ha. Serious question, though."
Blaze turned in his seat, although Draco kept looking straight ahead.
"Is any of this because you can't quite do it? She's Muggle-born, Draco. Not a minor family, not a half-blood. Muggle-born. I wouldn't blame you if it's just too much, too soon."
Draco was silent for a long time, the question knocking around his head, rattling at old ideas and prejudices. Things he'd believed his whole life, and that his family had cleaved to for generations. Fundamentals of what it meant to be who he was, or had been. Was that it? Was it that, when it really came down to it, he just couldn't stomach it?
No.
The word came out of his mouth almost involuntarily.
That's not it. All right.
Blaze took a deep drink of his wine.
Well, prepare yourself for a bit of a fight, then. I get the impression she doesn't give up easily.
Draco had brushed him off, but Blaze had been right, because even though Draco had stayed away, Granger was clearly not on the same track. Once he'd missed a few days at the cafe, she'd appeared in the bookshop, and then at the flat with Theo after their class, bright-eyed and full of interesting things to chat about. Draco had been cool to her, feigning preoccupation with a client at the shop, and inventing an errand that took him away from the flat not 5 minutes after she and Theo had arrived, trying not to care that he'd just left them totally alone. He even tried to tell himself he could just leave Hermione to Theo if she wanted him, that it didn't matter, and that she could take care of herself. She was too smart not to know about Theo's proclivities. If she pursued something with him in spite of that, it was her prerogative. Draco had to do a lot of pushing down of an inner voice that howled in protest at this train of thought, but he managed it. Barely. And he could tell Hermione was confused, and maybe even hurt. Her expressive face couldn't hide it, but he pressed on nonetheless, convinced of his course of action. But Blaze had been right. She was nothing if not tenacious. So he did find himself in the cafe one bright afternoon, responding to a note she'd slipped under the bookshop door early that morning, informing him that she had some new music for him, and that he had to stop by and get it if he wanted it. He pushed through the door warily, bracing himself and vowing to make the encounter brief. He held his helmet in one hand in what he hoped was a clear signal that he was on his way somewhere else. The bell tinkled and she looked up from where she was sitting at the end of the counter, leaning over a book. She was wearing the soft pink dress from that first day at the pools, and her hair was up, revealing her pretty neck. Draco swallowed. "Hi," she said warmly, jumping off of the stool and hurrying out from behind the counter. Alarmed, Draco was certain she was about to hug him, so he schooled his face into cool lines and propped himself against the counter in a way that made it impossible. She stopped short with a jerky motion.
"Hello,"
he said, his voice tight, feeling like an arse. "Hello," she said again, more softly than before. "You got my note? You're here for the cassettes?"
"Yeah, and I'll take a coffee too, for the road."
He lifted his helmet onto the bar. Okay. She went back behind the counter, her movements much more restrained than before. Draco felt a strange little seize in his gut, but ignored it. She worked the espresso machine silently and eventually turned up with his cup. "Here you are. I'll just duck in the back and get the music."
"Thanks."
While she was gone, the bell tinkled again, and to Draco's surprise, Lavender and Blaze walked in, laughing and holding hands. Things between them had progressed quickly, and for a moment Draco was awash in jealousy, wishing it could be that easy for him. But it never would be, would it? The thought bolstered his resolve, and he threw back his coffee, determined to get out of there as fast as he could.
"Hey!"
Blaze greeted him with surprise in his tone. "Fancy seeing you here!" Lavender said at the same time, a little frown in her eyes. Hermione came out of the back, her face drawn, but she brightened when she saw the new arrivals. "Hey, you two," she said with a little wave. "Haven't seen you in a while. Any of you?" she murmured, her eyes darting quickly to Draco. He felt a stab of guilt. If Lavender had been off with Blaze while he had been staying away too, Hermione must have not had too much company. Except for Theo. "You're welcome, Theo." He frowned down at the counter.
"Well, we're here to remedy that," Lavender was saying. "We're going to the disco tonight. All of us. We already stopped by your flat and Theo is in, she said, without looking at Draco. He opened his mouth to protest, but Granger cut in. Oh, that would be fun. Her face lifted and she turned her eyes to him. We haven't been there since the first night. I still haven't demonstrated 80s dancing to you. Her mouth went up in a tentative smile. It was a clear olive branch, and Draco knew it. Knew that she realised he'd been keeping away and didn't know why, but was willing to work past it. Try again. Bloody Gryffindor persistence. Everyone was waiting for his reply, and he knew he should say no. A refusal would cement this new distance. Even if she was tenacious, Hermione had self-respect. She wouldn't keep trying in the face of his indifference. He took a deep breath, willing himself to make the cut. But instead, he said,
"Okay."
"Really?"
Lavender smiled, and Granger's eyes stayed on him.
"Yeah, what time?"
"We're meeting at yours at 9, Lavender said. "We can all ride together."
"All right."
Draco looked down at the counter again. Shite. His helmet slid against his suddenly damp hand and he started. The ride. His excuse.
I'm off then.
He picked up the helmet and waved it slightly, before putting a bill down on the counter for the coffee and turning away.
Wait, your tapes, Hermione said, coming out from behind the bar again.
He stopped and turned back, willing himself not to notice how perfectly the pink dress skimmed her body. "Word got out that I was on the hunt and somebody brought these in," she said, holding out a stack of cassettes. He looked down at them and then back up at her face, which was guarded. "They're newer," she explained, "from the last few years. Radiohead, Blur and Pulp. Someone must know I'm English." She gave a short laugh. "They're all English bands." He took the tapes from her grasp, but she kept one back and held it up. "I'll think you'll especially like this one. Radiohead. This is one of my favourites for the last few years. The Bends." She looked into his face and a nervous smile flashed across hers. "I was really happy to get them. Someone left them in the hostel in Nanquino." He didn't smile back, and after a beat she looked away, a frown crossing her features. Draco felt like a complete asshole.
"Thanks,"
he started to say, but she interrupted him as she swung around and walked quickly behind the counter, her tone and demeanour suddenly brusque.
"Anyway, I hope you like them," she waved her hand. "So tonight," she turned her attention to Lavender, "what are you wearing?"
Draco felt the dismissal, but also didn't miss the two spots of red burning in Granger's cheeks. He sighed and Blaze raised a brow at him. Draco shrugged slightly.
"See you tonight, man,"
Blaze said with a flip of his chin.
"Yeah,"
Draco said, and then forced his steps away and out the door. Hermione pursed her lips as they walked into the disco. Draco had beat them there, of course. She could see him across the dance floor, drink already in hand, chatting to a waiter from the restaurant. His bike was a lot faster than Theo's fully loaded car, which they'd of course realised wouldn't fit all of them. Hermione sniffed. Draco had jumped at the chance to take the motorcycle when the alternative being circulated involved her sitting on his lap. No, it was becoming rather obvious that Draco wanted his distance from her. She had started to wonder after so many days had gone by without him stopping by the cafe, and then his demeanour had been strange when she'd gone to the bookshop and at his flat one afternoon. Earlier today had been the cherry on top. He'd clearly been reluctant to come see her, and almost dismissive about the new cassettes. Well, fine. She didn't need his friendship anyway. She'd gotten by very much without it for the first 17 years of her life. And she and Lavender, well, some of Lavender, she hadn't been around much. But Theo had been really lovely lately. He seemed to sense Draco's distance and be trying to make up for it. No ostentatious flirting or pushing of boundaries, just an easy and friendly, constant presence. She sighed as she let Lavender lead them to a corner with a big, open table. She did wonder what had happened with Draco, though. They'd had such a great time at the party, If anything, she'd thought they were getting closer. In fact, a few times she'd wondered. In the kitchen and right before they left. But no, she must have read it all wrong. Maybe she'd actually been too familiar that night, and that was his way of dealing with it, of putting her back in her place. She bristled again. Well, fuck him! She looked down and smoothed the bottom half of the white lacy skirt outfit she'd borrowed from Lavender. Both pieces covered a little less than Hermione was used to, but she wanted to show off a bit for tonight, to look good. And no, she didn't want to examine the reasons why too carefully. But it did have something to do with the way Draco's eyes widened when he'd opened the door to the flat earlier. Again, fuck him. She tossed her hair, which she'd left down and very curly, and accepted a cold glass from Theo, who had approached the table. Lavender and Blaze were already on the dance floor, putting on quite the display.
Wow, she's flexible, remarked Theo, raising an eyebrow in Lavender's direction.
Hermione laughed and swatted at him. Stop it! She's just having fun.
No judgment. Theo lifted his hands. In fact, would you like to go out there?
Hermione was about to decline. She generally felt a bit uncomfortable with really suggestive dancing, when her eye was caught by the viewer over Theo's shoulder. Draco, still across the room, was getting a hug from the beautiful dark-haired girl from before. What the fuck? Did they know each other now? Hermione's mind raced as her mouth sucked down her drink, almost in a single swallow. Was this the reason he'd been avoiding her? The girl reached up and ran long fingernails through his hair, ruffling it. He stepped back, laughing down at her in surprise. Hermione snapped her gaze back to Theo's and grabbed his hand. I'd love to, she said, jumping up.
Excellent.
He pulled her onto the floor and immediately drew her close. Hermione was aware of his warmth and his scent, just like the last time they danced. She concentrated on that, running her hands up over his biceps and shoulders to lace her fingers around his neck. His smile, which had been playful, deepened to something more, a bit serious. He pulled her closer and Hermione made herself relax into the embrace. She also made a mighty effort to forget the scene playing out across the room, her eyes locked with Theo's.
You look really beautiful tonight, he said in a low voice. I love your hair down like this.
He slid a light hand up from her waist, skimming it over her back and brushing her curls. Thank you. You're looking very nice yourself, she said with a smile. He did look extremely handsome. He was wearing her favourite faded denim shirt, the one that made his eyes look like a summer sky. He kept his blue gaze on hers for a beat, and she felt her breath come a little quicker. The movements of the dance were sensuous, and he was a very good dancer. Experimentally, she stroked lightly at the back of his neck. His eyes instantly darkened and dropped to her mouth. She bit her lip, feeling a little surge thread through her. Theo bent his head to her ear and whispered,
"You shouldn't have done that."
The smile in his words, combined with the lightest touch of his lips on Hermione's ear, caused a throb in a distinctive part of her anatomy. She blew out a surprised breath. Draco who? He could hug as many tarts in bars as he wanted. As the thought flitted through her head, Theo pulled back, his serious expression replaced by a roguish one, then spun her around so she was tucked up against him back to front. Hermione realised the song had changed to something very gritty and sexy. She stiffened against him, not sure she could pull off this kind of dancing.
Relax,
he whispered, sliding the palm of his hand around to her bare stomach and pulling her tighter against him. Hermione normally had a rather violent reaction to being told to relax, shades of Ron, but something in the tone of Theo's voice was caressing and playful, rather than condescending, and she did relax. She gave a little laugh and fell against him, letting him move her to the bumping beat of the song. That's it.
He tightened his other hand on her hip and put his lips to her ear again. Hermione felt the same shiver go over her body. She also felt the cocktail she'd drunk practically in one gulp slip through her veins. She tipped her head back and twined her arm up around his neck, her palm against the back of his head. He laughed softly and tilted his face towards her neck.
There you go. It's fun, right?
And it was fun. They moved together for a while longer, Hermione getting looser with every stroke. She didn't feel self-conscious because almost everyone around them was dancing more provocatively. Some of the girls nearly bent double and touching the floor with the boys right behind them, grabbing their hips. Lavender was putting her flexibility to good use. Hermione laughed lightly just as Theo grabbed her waist and spun her around to face him. She reeled a little at the unexpected movement and fell into him. He was smiling too, but kept her from pulling away at all. Now they were dancing just as close, but facing each other. Hermione looked up at him from under her lashes just as a smile faded from his face.
"And there's your look," he said. "Very good."
His voice was light, but his eyes were intense on hers. He turned them in a slow circle, and Hermione kept his gaze, really looking at him, considering him. But as they turned, she caught a flash of platinum over his shoulder. Draco was alone at their table now, no dark-haired girl. He was leaning over, smoking and watching them as they danced, just like last time. It was impossible to read his expression through the dim and the smoke, but his posture was tense, his shoulders hunched and his foot tapping slowly. Hermione's impulse reaction was to disengage and step away from Theo, which really pissed her off. So she closed her eyes and pulled him closer instead. She'd barely noticed, but the song had changed and was now slow and romantic. She leaned her head on Theo's shoulder and closed her eyes, against the vision of Draco and the feelings that went with it. She felt Theo touch his face to her hair and take a deep breath in. Pulling her head up, she collected herself and smiled at him. "I think I like this kind of dancing better."
"It's very nice," he murmured, his hands brushing slowly over the bare skin of her back.
Hermione felt that confusing warmth building again, and she looked down. Suddenly, Theo took her hands from around his neck and swung her out in a slow twirl. She laughed as he did it, thankful for a break in the tension between them. He smiled back and pulled her in again. They swayed a bit more until the notes died and the DJ announced a break. Everyone pulled apart and started walking off the dance floor. Theo kept Hermione's hand lightly in his as they turned towards the table. Lavender and Blaze were there, but Draco was gone, his empty glass sitting in front of his empty chair.
"You want another drink?"
Theo's voice broke into Hermione's suddenly swirling thoughts. "Yeah," she said, glancing at him briefly. "Another of the same. Thanks." He nodded and dropped her hand, moving towards the bar as she walked towards the table. Blaze jumped up as she approached and shot her a look that she couldn't quite read, before going off after Theo. "Having fun?" Lavender asked as Hermione sat, flicking her eyes in Theo's direction with a tease of her voice. "Yeah," Hermione smiled and nodded, but couldn't help her glance at Draco's empty chair. "He left," Lavender said with a twist of her mouth. "Sorry." "What?" Hermione shrugged exaggeratedly. "I don't care." "Uh-huh." Lavender played with a straw in her empty glass. "I don't. I'm having fun. With Theo," Hermione protested. "I can see that." Lavender's brows went up. "Remember what I told you about him?" Hermione squinted at her. "He's a very good kisser," Lavender said with a wink and a naughty smile. Hermione rolled her eyes and shook her head. "Thanks." They sat in silence for a beat, Then Hermione looked at Draco's glass again and abruptly asked, "Did you see where he went?" Lavender blew out an exasperated breath. "What am I going to do with you? He went home, and yes, he was alone. Not for lack of trying on her part." She jutted her chin towards a corner of the room where the dark-haired girl was laughing with some friends. Hermione looked at the girl and felt a very distinct rush of relief. She then looked back at Lavender, who was shaking her head slowly.
"Lav?"
Blaze was suddenly at the table.
"They can't make that peach thingy you want. Come see the choices."
"Okay, okay." Lavender jumped up and took Blaze's hand, just as Theo came up behind them with two drinks. She and Blaze spun away towards the bar, Lavender darting a very significant look at Theo and wiggling her eyebrows at Hermione as they went. Hermione snorted to herself while Theo was placing the drinks down. He opened his mouth to say something, but just then the music started up again, a loud, raucous tune that had everyone yelling and running out to the dance floor. Hermione winced and grimaced at the noise.
"Do you want to take those to the table round the back?" Theo yelled.
"Yeah," Hermione nodded as a particularly loud guitar squeal rent the air. "Let's go." Theo nodded and grabbed her hand, threading them through the crowds of dancers and out a side door. It closed behind them and the sound muffled pleasantly. This section of the club was reserved for dining during the day, but seemed to be designated as an informal quiet area at night. There were only a few other people out there, one couple sitting at one of the small square tables, and two girls smoking and talking animatedly under a tree in the corner. Theo led Hermione to a table and hopped up on its top, resting his feet on one of the seats. Hermione joined him and watched the girls as they stubbed out their cigarettes and made their way inside. "That was fun," she said, clinking her glass with his. "Thanks for putting up with my subpar dancing skills." Theo smiled.
"What are you talking about? You were brilliant."
Hermione took a long swallow of her drink and nudged his shoulder. "Come on."
"Once you loosened up, you were great," he said firmly, nudging her back.
They sat in silence for a moment, and Hermione looked up at the starry sky through the branches of an overhanging tree. The night air whispered warm against her skin. She glanced around, the other couple seeming to have gone inside. "It's so beautiful here," she said. "Sometimes I still can't believe this is my life."
"Yeah."
He blew out a soft laugh.
"Same."
He paused for a minute, and she felt him turn towards her.
"How are you doing?"
he asked. She gave him a questioning look. Was he talking about Draco?
"I mean, just generally," he explained, "with all of this."
"Ah, okay, I guess," she said, shrugging. "I mean, I worry all the time, but I try not to let the worry surface, if you know what I mean."
"I do,"
he nodded. "And how are you?" she said.
"Same. Okay, but always with the undercurrent. I'm starting to wonder how all of this is going to end, too."
He waved his hand.
"Like, will we go back to school, and when we do, what will it be like?"
The look on his face was serious. "Do you think we'll still be friends?" Hermione asked softly, speaking aloud the first words that popped into her mind.
"Of course."
His reply was immediate, and something about its quickness and warmth touched Hermione. She realised there had been a part of her that worried that they'd all be pretending like they didn't know each other come autumn. "That makes me really happy, Theo." Impulsively, she leaned over to emphasise her words, with a quick kiss on his cheek, right on his dimple. But at that same moment, he turned to look at her, opening his mouth to say something, and her kiss ended up landing close to his lips. She inhaled in surprise but didn't pull away, something keeping her frozen. A second or two ticked by and he didn't pull away either. Instead, he leaned forward the slightest bit and kissed her again, his lips soft and caressing. Hermione's first reaction was surprise. There was a very brief point where she thought she would pull back, smooth the whole thing over with a funny word and a laugh. But something inside of her was curious and caught up in the moment. So instead of pulling away, she kissed him back, parting her lips and exploring his. He breathed in sharply and his hand came up around the back of her neck, under her hair. His fingers were warm and sure, and she let herself fall into the kiss as he deepened it, tilting her head and slanting his mouth across hers. Hermione felt almost outside of her body, like she was in a film, the sensation of warmth as it tingled through her veins secondhand somehow. Experimentally, she opened her mouth and teased her tongue against his lips, while she ran her hand up his chest and around his neck, cradling it lightly. Why not? The thought whispered through her mind. He was a gorgeous boy. It was a romantic night, and she wanted to. She didn't owe anybody anything. Far from it, in fact. Theo's reaction to the touch of her tongue and caress of her hand was immediate. He breathed in sharply and slipped off the table, barely breaking contact with her lips as he stepped between her legs and pulled her towards him. His tongue went to hers, and Hermione got a demonstration of what Lavender had been talking about. Kissing him was like zipping in a fast car, or twirling on a ride at a funfair. Her sessions with Adam last winter instantly paled in comparison.
Gods!
He breathed against her mouth after a few minutes, pulling back very slightly.
He was so sweet.
She made an indistinct sound in response, enjoying the sensations that were rolling over her in slow waves. She had been holding his shoulders, but now ran her hands up to his neck again and caressed the soft skin there.
Hermione,
he half said, half moaned, his lips now near her ear.
You're driving me mad.
He kissed her again, even more deeply, and his hands, which had been in her hair, went to her thighs and gripped lightly there, running up just a bit, his thumbs caressing in slow circles. Something about the gesture was questioning. Hermione got the impression that he was asking if she wanted to go further, and how far she wanted to take it. She appreciated the silent inquiry and pulled back from his lips, resting her hands on his. Clearing her throat, Hermione laughed low and looked down and then up at him through her lashes. Right, she said, her voice a bit breathy. He leaned forward and rested his forehead against hers.
Yeah.
His breath was ragged and his eyes closed. She put her hand up and ran a finger over his cheek, and he half smiled, still not opening his eyes.
Sorry, just give me a minute.
His dimple appeared and deepened, and Hermione blew out another soft laugh. Okay. She moved her hands to his wrists and gripped lightly there. He pulled back and opened his eyes. His pupils were blown and the blue very dark around them. He took a deep breath and straightened, shaking his head slowly as a grin broke across his face. He shook his head again and turned his hands in her grip, grasping her wrists lightly. She swung his hands lightly between them.
I would really like to kiss you again,
he said, a slight smile playing at the corner of his mouth.
But I don't think I could handle it here. Damn, I wish we could apparate.
He looked around a bit wildly. Hermione laughed, inwardly glad that they weren't somewhere more private. She still wasn't sure how far she would ever want to go with Theo, and now she wasn't certain of how well she'd do at stopping herself if they were truly alone. Shall we go back in? She suggested gently. Lavender and Blaze are probably wondering where we are. He blinked down at her, a flash of disappointment crossing his face so quickly she thought she might have imagined it.
Yeah, okay,
he finally said, his tone lighter than before. He took her hand and slid her down off the table, lingering a bit as he did so. Then he led her back through the door to what felt like the other side of the world. The music was instantly loud, the light brighter and the energy higher. Hermione blinked at it all as she tried to reacclimate. She spotted Lavender on a bar stool, Blaze standing beside her, whispering something in her ear. Lavender laughed, spotting Theo and Hermione as she did so. Her eyes went instantly to Hermione's and her brows into her hairline. Hermione rolled her eyes and gave Lavender a quick grin. Lavender laughed again and gave Hermione a discreet thumbs up, which she turned into a wave to beckon them over. They arrived at the bar, Theo keeping Hermione's hand until she gently freed it, a part of her, of which she was a bit ashamed, hoping Blaze hadn't seen. They discussed having another drink, but instead decided to go.
"Do you want to come to ours? Have a nightcap?"
Theo asked the girls as they pulled out of the dirt lot and onto the highway. Hermione twisted to look at Lavender, suddenly wanting nothing less than to go to Theo's flat and possibly see Draco. She just wanted to go home, get in bed and mull over what had happened. Lavender's eyes, which had been wide and questioning, narrowed slightly. She suddenly gave a jaw-cracking yawn.
"I, for one, am knackered," she said through it.
"I think I'd just like to head back to ours and turn in, if nobody minds." Hermione gave her a grateful look before turning and yawning herself.
"That sounds good. I'm actually a bit tired too," she said, glancing at Theo.
He was looking at the road, his profile inscrutable.
"Your wish is my command," he said lightly. "Zabini, you want to come with me and apparate from there?"
"Yeah, sounds good, mate, since my woman doesn't want me."
Blaze's voice held a smile, and Hermione saw Lavender tilt against him and he kissed her temple. The rest of the ride passed mostly in silence, and Hermione was glad when they pulled up to the usual drop-off point near the centre of town. Theo parked the car, and Lavender and Blaze scrambled out of the back.
"Back in a mo,"
Blaze said to Theo. "Are you coming?" Lavender asked Hermione as they turned to walk around the corner up to the flat. "Yeah, in a minute," Hermione said with a wave. She heard Theo getting up and out of the car behind her and turned halfway to him, not exactly sure how she wanted this night to end. The moon was now high and shining down brightly, but his face was in shadow as he approached.
"So I'll see you tomorrow," he said softly, stepping close.
"What?" She was confused for a moment.
"Class, of course," she said. "Duh, totally forgot. Oh, and something else I forgot. Giancarlo asked me to open tomorrow, so I'll be a bit late."
"So you won't need a lift?"
He reached out and touched one of her curls, twisting it loosely around his finger. "Not there, at least," Hermione said softly.
"I'll drive you home," he said,
seeming suddenly closer. Hermione tensed involuntarily, and her eyes darted up the street. Theo seemed to sense her reaction because he stepped back instantly, dropping her hair and taking up her hand instead. He placed a light kiss on the top of her wrist as he spun away.
"Until then."
"Okay," Hermione said, turning to walk around the corner. "I had a lovely time," she called at the last minute, just as Blaze came into view. She saw Theo's hand wave out of the window as she turned away. "Are you actually tired?" Lavender came out of her bedroom in a tiny, matching blue pyjama set. "What do you think of this hat?" she asked, inexplicably popping a straw fedora on and off her head as she looked into the mirror.
It's cute," Hermione said.
She sat down at the table and tossed her handbag down with a sigh.
"No, I'm actually kind of wound up."
"One more drink?" Lavender asked, going to the fridge. "Yeah, okay." Hermione realised she'd only had two all night. No excuses then. Lavender poured out two beers and handed one to Hermione. Too hot for red wine, and we're out of white, she said as she sat down. Hermione nodded and swiped at the condensation on her bottle. So? Lavender leaned her chin in her hand and wiggled her eyebrows. What happened? We kissed, Hermione said, on a big exhale. And how was it? Lavender leaned forward. Good, I hope. It was really good. Exciting. Hot. I don't know, I'm so confused, Hermione wailed. Lavender sat back. Because of Draco. Hermione dropped her head into her hands. I don't want it to be that, she said through her fingers. But it is, Lavender said, plucking her beer bottle down on the table. It's so frustrating. Hermione looked up at the ceiling. He doesn't even like me that way. Lavender shook her head. I don't know about that. Well, he's definitely been avoiding me since the party. So maybe he did like me, but he stopped. Or he can sense my interest in him and it disgusts him. I don't know. It's just so stupid to even think about. He's Draco Malfoy. And there is a perfectly lovely, gorgeous boy right in front of me. What is wrong with me? Oh, no, no, no. Theo is not perfect. Don't forget that. Lavender wagged a finger. He never has been, even for Daphne Greengrass. What do you mean? Another Hogwarts romance I was totally ignorant of. Yeah, it was Slytherin inner house stuff, so whatever. But the story did circulate. What happened? He just liked her for a long time. I guess they were childhood friends and then finally got together at the beginning of last year. Happy and all that. Perfect together. Blah, blah, blah. Until he did his Theo thing. Broke her heart. Broke his. Oh, shit. You didn't know! In fact, I think I was part of his epic rebound campaign. And, I think she started dating an older guy. Someone who graduated a few years ago. According to Blaise, she doesn't talk to Theo anymore. God, that's really sad. Yeah, and there's no way he's truly over it. He was in love with her for years. So don't get too sentimental over him. Lavender knocked twice on the table. Plus, we know he's got things going on with at least two girls here. Blaise hinted that those are ongoing things too. Okay. Hermione looked off into the distance. Keeping my eyes wide open with Theo for sure. I'm not saying don't do anything, Lavender exclaimed. Just be realistic. No, I know. I'm just not going to let myself get into a poor little Theo guilt spiral. Exactly, Lavender said. Now, back to Draco. Hermione groaned. I'll see if Blaise knows anything. Do not talk to Blaise about this, Hermione yelled. I will be very subtle, Lavender said in a placating tone. I'll make sure it seems like I noticed it and I'm just wondering. I'm actually good at this kind of thing, you know. Hermione made a sceptical sound. Because, Lavender continued, unless my intuition is really wrong, which it rarely is, he does like you quite a lot. It was clear as day the night of the party, but I am wondering what happened after. She rubbed her chin. Well, if you figure it out, fucking tell me, Hermione sighed. Or, she straightened up, maybe I should just bloody well forget about him. He probably started to like me and then remembered I'm a muggle. Lavender laughed. Ouch! And for what it's worth, I don't think it's that. He's definitely trying to stay away from you, but I don't think that's why. Anyway, I'm off to bed. Hermione stood up. Thanks for listening to me moan. Of course. Sweet dreams of that hot kiss, Lavender said with a wink. Hermione laughed as she turned and went down the hall. Chapter 13. Hermione jogged up the lane to the Language Institute. The bus had been slow again, but she hadn't minded this time. The long ride had given her time to think and to put off the inevitable. She was so bloody agitated about seeing Theo today. Why? It wasn't that she regretted kissing him, and after her conversation with Lavender, she truly didn't feel any sense of obligation to him, or anyone else. Maybe, she had thought, as she had stared unseeing out the bus window, it was that she just wasn't sure she wanted to go any further with him. Not that the kiss hadn't been nice. It had been very nice. The memory of it, which she'd played over in her mind quite a few times now, never failed to make her thrill. The question, she supposed, was whether she wanted to do it again. She looked up as she approached the now familiar low yellow house and recalled Theo's soft lips, her own ragged breath, the feel of his hair between her fingers. She also spotted Theo himself across the lawn, standing and gesturing to Signore Felucci. She stopped for a second to check her reaction to him, running her eyes over his lithe figure, broad-shouldered and haloed by the late morning sun. He turned to the side and laughed, his smile flashing across the distance. One part of her brain wondered why in the world she wouldn't want to do it again. Why wouldn't she just enjoy this boy in this time and this place? It was all temporary. They were living in half a dream that could go away tomorrow. Why bloody not? Even if he was seeing two other girls and had had a problem with staying faithful, they were 17. It wasn't like she was looking for something real. She started walking again slowly, and a very sly voice whispered across her consciousness. You weren't looking for it, no. Hermione rejected the voice instantly, and actually swore out loud. She wasn't in love with anyone, for fuck's sake. And even if she had started to think there was something with Draco, he obviously didn't want something with her, so the point was moot. She picked up her pace, annoyed at all this thinking, and returned her basically in the exact same spot from which she'd started. As she crossed the lawn, Theo spotted her and waved her over, his face brightening. Hermione felt a half-smile tug at the corner of her mouth.
Ah, signorina, called Signore Felucci. We learn about transportations today, trains and planes and holiday destinations.
Yes, Theo added in Italian. Come away with us.
He accompanied this statement with a slight smile and a flick of his brows. Hermione felt herself blush. Excellent, she murmured, grinning nervously at both men.
All right, says Signore Felucci. As you say in English, all aboard.
Theo steered them carefully out of the driveway after the lesson, his tiny car picking up speed once they hit the paved road. Hermione looked out the window, relieved that their interactions during class had been very ordinary. After that first slightly provocative comment, at least, he'd seemed determined to keep everything light. Of course, now that they were alone, Hermione felt her nervousness surface again. Were they going to have to talk about things? Didn't boys historically not like talking about things? She certainly learned that lesson over the years with Harry and Ron. Maybe she'd get lucky today. She glanced over, quickly clocking Theo's mood from his profile. He looked pensive and lovely, as usual. She shook her head a little internally that she was even debating whether she wanted to kiss him again. At that moment, he glanced her way.
Good lesson, eh? He said. I feel like the one that was a bit more useful than some of the recent ones. Being able to ask for directions and understand them will be really helpful.
Yes, she said. I got lost trying to find this little boutique the other day because I mixed up the words for left and right. Now I feel like I've got a handle on it. Theo murmured his assent and kept his eyes on the road. They were silent for a bit. Hermione watched the trees and hilly fields whizzing by out her window. Was this the point at which it was going to get awkward? She sighed. Theo, she said,
angling her body towards his as much as the tiny car would allow. At the same moment, he said her name. They both stopped, and he shot her a quick grin.
You go.
No, you.
I was just going to say there's something up here I'd like to show you, if you have time before you have to be back at the cafe.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have some time. Hermione was taken aback. This was not what she had expected.
Brilliant.
Theo smiled again and flicked the indicator, then pulled the car off the road and into a gentle stop.
What is it? Hermione blurted.
You'll see. Come on.
Theo jumped out of the driver's seat and signalled to her to follow suit. Hermione opened her door and unfolded herself up and out.
This way, he called,
striking out on a narrow path that wound its way through a field dotted here and there by gnarled olive trees. Hermione followed him towards a point where the path fell away and down a gentle slope. When they reached the point of the elevation change, she stopped in surprise. Below them was an entire grove of olive trees, much more thickly clustered than in the field they had just walked through, and stretching for as far as Hermione could see. All of them were low and twisted into fantastical shapes, and some were massive, clearly ancient specimens.
Incredible!
Hermione shielded her eyes with her hand as she looked.
Isn't it?
Theo's eyes darted out at the view, and then back to her.
Come on!
He dashed off down the path into the grove, and Hermione followed him, picking her way carefully down the steeper bit.
How did you find this place? She called.
Theo's teeth glinted white over his shoulder.
Had to, answer the call of nature on the way to class the first morning. Saw the path, so I pulled over.
Hermione laughed. A nice place for a pee. His answering laughter floated back to her. They made their way down into the trees and for a while just wandered around, pointing out the biggest or most twisted ones. Hermione quite forgot her earlier nervousness in the exercise, relaxing into enjoying Theo's company again.
Look at this one, she called,
having found a tree with a branch so low and thick that it basically formed a bench. She sat and bounced a little. The branch easily held her weight. Theo appeared from another cluster of trees and saw her. His face, which had been set in an excited grin, relaxed into something softer.
Well, aren't you a picture?
He said quietly. Uh-oh. Hermione laughed lightly and went to stand up. Theo took a step and was there in front of her, giving her his hand. She took it, and when she stood, he pulled her lightly towards him. Hermione fell a little into him and looked up. The sun was dappling them through the branches of the trees, and his eyes were intent on hers.
Hello,
he said, holding perfectly still.
Hi,
Hermione replied, her voice barely above a whisper. The sound of birdsong and insects buzzing seemed to intensify around them. Theo's hand came up and brushed lightly across her jawline. Every thought and internal debate from earlier rushed through her head at once. It was time to come to the point. Was she doing this?
I think you know that I want to kiss you again,
Theo said, his voice low.
But I'm not quite sure you want me to.
His tone was almost playful, and his hand stayed on her jaw, lightly caressing. His head angled slightly closer to hers. Hermione was caught. She wanted to close her eyes, press pause, take a little more time. But she knew if she closed her eyes, his lips would be on hers, and then her judgment would be clouded. Because she could still feel that spark arching between them. The spark Theo seemed to have with a lot of people, and the one that had gotten him in trouble in the past. And she could see very clearly an outcome where she let him back her up against one of these ancient trees and reduce her to jelly with his hands and his lips and his tongue.
She knew she would enjoy it, would be an enthusiastic participant. But would she feel good about it later? Would it just make things more complicated? No. Yes. No. The rumble of a passing motorcycle sounded in the distance, and Hermione started, putting her hand over Theo's and pulling it down gently. She held their clasped hands between them like a barrier and cast her eyes towards the ground. Theo, I... He gave a light little groan and twisted away from her. She glanced up quickly to see real disappointment in his face. He turned back, squeezed the hand he was still holding and took up the other one.
I really like you, he said, and I hope you know that. I hope you don't think I'm just a player, or looking for a notch on my belt or something like that.
I like you too. Hermione tried to put all the sincerity of her feelings into the words. But no, I don't fancy being one of a lineup. I know there are others, and it's just not me, Theo.
Why does everything have to be so serious? He said,
dropping her hands and going to sit on the low branch.
Can't we just have a bit of fun? We're teenagers, for fuck's sake.
He ran a hand through his hair and looked off into the distance. Hermione had the impression that this wasn't the first time he'd had this conversation with someone. Last night was me having fun, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Why not do it again, then?
He rested his forehead on his hands.
Shit. Sorry. I'm really not trying to bully you into kissing me. Not my style, you know?
A ghost of his charming smile crossed his features. Hermione went to sit next to him on the branch. She took his hand again. Look, I want to be your friend. Your friendship is important to me. And I know if we got involved and you did your usual thing... She talked over a sound of frustration he made at these words. That it would really compromise that. I'd be hurt, whether that was fair or not. And I completely agree with you. We are teenagers, and we've only really known each other for less than a month. I don't want to force some monogamy situation on you. It's not like I'm looking for a relationship. Theo levelled the long look at her after these words, and Hermione glanced away quickly in the direction of the road.
Okay,
he finally said after a long silence. Hermione felt him get up off the branch. She glanced up at him warily, but the look on his face was carefully neutral. He held out his hand.
Come on then, friend.
She took it and stood, peering into his eyes. No hard feelings? He stepped back and dropped her hand gently.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed.
He shrugged,
and annoyed with myself for fucking this up before it started. I meant what I said about liking you.
He rubbed his neck and flashed an uncharacteristically vulnerable look at her.
And I wonder,
he mused, his voice quiet,
if some things had been different.
He shook his head again.
But they aren't.
He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. Hermione resisted the urge to apologise. She really had nothing to be sorry for, but she was a little angry with herself too, for kissing him at all. She should have kept things simple. But no, they had been heading for this reckoning for a while now, and even though she felt bad and a bit deflated, she also felt relieved. At least everything was out in the open. She looked at her watch. I probably should be getting back.
I know, he sighed. Me too.
He twitched his head in the direction of the road and gave her another weak smile.
Well, let's go.
We're going to see a band tomorrow night. Lavender's eyes were bright as she scooped Hermione's gelato selections. What? Hermione accepted a heaping cup over the tall glass counter. Is this why I was summoned here? Maurizio said it was urgente. Yes. These guys came in earlier. American. I was chatting to them and it turns out they're in a band.
from Texas, they said, and they're playing in Aquino tomorrow night, within the wards, and we're on the list to get in. Hermione blinked and took a bite of pistachio. Oh, that sounds fun. I know, right? Lavender gave a little squeal. At least two of them are reasonably good looking too. Good opportunity for you. She nodded seriously at Hermione, who laughed. I just extricated myself from one thing, Lavender. I don't think I want another. Ugh, blokes in bands do not things create, Lavender said. This is strictly a one-night gig. They said they're off to Rome the following day. Just passing through. She waved her hand and wiggled her brows. Perfect for you. Hermione laughed again, but also considered Lavender's words. It had been a few days since her conversation with Theo in the olive grove, and she hadn't seen much of him since, other than their last ride to and from class, which had been quiet and stilted. It had been sort of lonely, if she was honest. She hadn't realised how much she'd come to enjoy and rely on Theo's company. She supposed she couldn't expect him to dance attendance of her after. She'd rejected him. But it was a little depressing how quickly he had disappeared once sex was off the table. Or was that unfair? She felt like she didn't know any more. And Draco? Well, she wasn't allowing herself to dwell on that at all. She'd seen him once briefly when she'd ducked into the bookshop to pick up a novel she'd put on hold. He'd been busy and she hadn't lingered, although she couldn't help but wonder if he knew anything of what had gone on with Theo. She and Lavender had barely had a chance to discuss it, so she hadn't had any intel from that quarter either. Really, she'd just been trying to stop thinking about boys altogether, and move, concert things actually seemed like a great way to do that. Hermione shook her head mentally and refocused on Lavender, who was saying something about the band being indie rock. That's what Jeff, he's the lead singer, said anyway. Lavender was leaning on the counter on her elbows. He was one of the fit ones. Oh, does Blaze have anything to worry about? Hermione teased. No. Lavender rolled her eyes. He was actually there when they came in. And we're all invited, including Draco and Theo. The pan guys said they'd put us all on the list. Ah, those two will show. Especially Draco. Hermione stuffed down a stab of disappointment and scraped up the last of her gelato. I don't know. Blaze seemed keen. I think he'll talk it up to Draco at least, and Theo won't want to be left out. Interesting. Hermione handed her empty cup to Lavender. Well, break's over. I better head back. Okay, start thinking about your outfit strategy, Lavender called as Hermione walked out the door. Hermione laughed and waved her hand behind her, feeling rather perked up and excited. Strictly about the music, of course. Draco dragged his left arm out of the water and plunged it back in, turning his face to take a quick breath as he did so. Approaching the far side of the pool wall, he twisted and pushed off to start another lap, keeping a steady pace. He didn't stop until he had to, pulling himself out of the pool to lay dripping on its tiled border, utterly exhausted. He closed his eyes and breathed heavily, letting the hot sun dry him as his heart rate slowed. Finally, he pushed up and walked to a deck chair and flopped down, threw his arms over his eyes to block out the bright light that turned the insides of his eyelids a dull red, then stayed that way, just listening to the still silence around him. It was good to come here and swim. Blaze had told him to make free with the house and pool, and Draco had, even at times like now when Blaze wasn't here. He'd never swum for more than fun before, but without Quidditch he had very little outlet for his restless physical energy, and he found the methodical pull through the water soothing. After 50 laps, his thoughts didn't hound him quite so viciously, and he needed less of the sleeping potion at night. Of course, all the exercise didn't seem to be helping now. His mind had already wandered in a particularly dangerous direction. It was because he'd seen her today, at a distance, coming out of the fruit and vegetable shop with a parcel and her brisk stride, hair tucked up under her straw hat. It had reminded him of that first day before he knew who she was. He ducked into a shadowy doorway and watched her, like a creep. He really identified with one of the bands she'd recommended to him, until she'd walked into the cafe. Then he'd come directly to Blazers. He sighed and rolled his head slowly back and forth. He'd started last week, so convinced that he was doing the right thing, that he would succeed in doing it. And he even managed for a bit. Then the bloody disco night had happened. After that, the vision of her dancing with Theo was on a fucking repeat loop in his brain, no matter what he did. Even riding his bike extremely recklessly, getting drunk alone and pathetic, a lot of swimming, none of it had helped. God, she'd looked incredible. Her little white skirt and her long, bare legs. Her hair wild and down. Fucking Theo with his hands and his whole fucking body all over her. Her smiling up at him, slipping her fingers into his hair. Theo's hands on her skin. Draco pushed his eyes open and tried to will the images away. He didn't care. It was for the best. He didn't want complications. Rinse and repeat. She obviously liked Theo anyway. He took a deep breath and unclenched his jaw, then looked down to see his hands were in fists. He unclenched them too and made a sound of exasperation. The real fucking bugger of things is that it hadn't gotten any easier as the days passed. He thought it would, and felt almost betrayed when his old friend's time and distance hadn't helped in the least. Usually, when he decided to cut people out of his life or put them out of his mind, they stayed gone. Pansy Parkinson's face floated across his consciousness. He'd dropped her shrill, bigoted arse over winter break without one look back. His once loyal henchman, Crab and Goyle, cut loose last summer. Even his father. He'd always be able to do it. Something about being an only child, he supposed. He was used to being in solitary. Lonely, even. Not really needing anyone. But with her, it was like his brain kept sweeping over and over the same burnt, ragged patch of want. And hurt. And it wasn't just the dance floor, or jealousy of Theo, what Draco wanted to do with her physically. He missed her mind, her presence, their talks and their shared interests. It was becoming more and more clear that she was what had made the situation more than bearable. Now he was just alone with his paranoia and crippling worry for the future. Fuck. He started up out of his chair and stalked off in the direction of the house. Blaze had to have some booze or maybe even a potion that would take his mind off things. Draco picked up his pace, feeling his breath coming a bit heavy. He rounded the corner to the covered corridor at a good clip.
Hey!
A hand reached out and steadied his shoulder.
Mate, slow down.
Draco came to an abrupt halt.
Sorry, fuck. No worries. Are you swimming?
Blaze's dark eyes showed concern.
Yeah.
Draco looked up at him from under his lowered brow.
I was about to see if you had anything to drink inside. You know I do. I'll join you. A toast to your mum, Draco said a few minutes later,
tapping his deep red cocktail to Blaze's.
For having such a well-stocked bar. You know Diantha.
Blaze raised his brows and took a deep drink.
Damn, that's bitter,
he sputtered.
Yeah, Draco said. But good though, right?
Blaze nodded thoughtfully and took another, much smaller sip.
How are you?
He asked, looking across the tall kitchen counter where they were both sitting. Draco lifted one shoulder. Blaze gave him a long, level look.
The potion's been helping you sleep?
Yeah, and the swimming. Thanks for both.
Of course.
And you? Draco said. You've been occupied of late? His mouth pulled up on the one side. Blaze pitched his head to the side and smiled.
Yeah.
That going well? Blaze nodded and took another sip.
Very well.
Draco sniggered, and Blaze jostled him under the table.
No, that's great, mate.
Draco raised his glass again. Blaze fixed Draco with another long look and opened his mouth to say something, but then closed it again. He looked down at the counter and up.
Hey, I wanted to invite you to something tomorrow night.
Not the fucking disco.
No.
Blaze's teeth flashed quickly.
It's a music show. A band playing in a club in Aquino. Americans. They came to the gelato shop when I was visiting Lav, and she struck up a conversation with them. I figured since you liked Granger's cassette thingy so much...
Draco looked steadily at Blaze.
What?
Blaze finally said.
Theo going? I mean, he's invited. Everyone's invited.
Blaze's slight emphasis on everyone had Draco grinding his teeth.
I'll think about it.
He was curious, but also seriously doubted his ability to watch Theo all over Hermione again.
Yeah, all right,
Blaze said, draining his drink. Draco swallowed the last of his, too.
I should be off,
he said, and pushed up from the counter.
You have anything on tonight? Seeing Glav. Have fun with that.
Draco gave him a quick smile. Blaze smiled back and looked down.
Yeah.
He looked back at Draco.
Think about tomorrow, okay? You should get out a bit.
Draco nodded and turned towards the door. Tucking his helmet under his arm, Draco trudged up the stairs to his flat, mulling over the idea of going to the show. He was intrigued by the prospect of seeing a Muggle band. It seemed so fitting somehow to experience that this summer. He'd also really like to see the kind of music he'd been listening to played live. And if bloody Theo couldn't keep his hands to himself, Draco could always leave, like he had the other night. He was in these thoughts as he pushed his way through the front door, pausing for a moment to flick on a light in the dim hallway. Almost immediately, the soft silence of the flat was disrupted by a sigh. A woman's sigh, low and sensuous. Draco froze, his eyes darting to Theo's door, which was shut tight. Another sigh emerged, and for a second, Draco's heart dropped. Gods, was it her? But no, it wasn't, because the sigh was quickly followed by a string of extremely idiomatic and rather raunchy Italian, the woman's voice smoky and scratchy. Relief flooded Draco's veins, and he listened against the wall for a moment, eyes staring unseeing into the distance. A man's grunt roused him from his stupor, and he pulled his wand from an inner pocket of his riding kit and cast a silencing spell in the direction of Theo's bedroom. He did not want to hear the rest of this, but he also didn't fancy waiting it out somewhere else. He moved towards the kitchen and stowed his helmet on a shelf, shifting through a strange mix of emotions. His initial elation that Theo didn't have Hermione in there was replaced quickly by a hot flash of anger. Theo up to his old fucking tricks. Draco moved to the fridge to pull out a bottle of wine and stopped, arrested. Theo had said he'd try to stay faithful if Hermione were interested. And although Draco had never known Theo to succeed at that particular endeavour, he'd also never known him to fail quite so quickly. A new and different explanation took hold, one that had Draco's heart feeling lighter than it had in days. He uncorked the wine and poured a generous glass, a slight smile lifting his lips. He took his glass to the sitting room and pulled open the huge glass windows, then tugged one of the club chairs over to face them. He sat sipping, enjoying the evening air and the last rays of the sun as they dipped behind the buildings opposite. His mind quiet for the first time in days. Eventually he heard the sound of a door opening, then soft laughter and an even softer goodbye. The shower ran and turned off after a while. Footsteps sounded behind him. Draco craned his neck. Theo was in his waiter's uniform, his hair darkly damp.
"You're home," he said. "Sorry if that disturbed you."
Draco made a sound and waved his hand.
"I cast a charm." "I figured."
Theo sounded a bit chagrined.
"She can be loud."
Draco shrugged. He'd lived the last 6 years of his life in a dormitory with 8 other boys. It wasn't like he hadn't heard it all.
"Julia or Angelina?"
"Francesca."
"Ah."
Draco looked over his shoulder and lifted a brow.
"Any more of that wine?"
Theo asked, moving towards the kitchen.
"Yes, I just opened it. Bring it over."
Theo complied, approaching with a bottle, from which he topped up Draco's glass and filled his own. He fished out a cigarette and lit it, leaning against the wrought iron grill of the window.
"Lavender ran me to the ground earlier," he said, inhaling. "Something about a music show tomorrow night. You going?"
Draco extended his hand and Theo handed him the crumpled pack of cigarettes.
"I think I might,"
he said, looking out at the darkening twilight as he shook out the cigarette and flared a match. They smoked in silence for a while, Theo tapping his foot restlessly on the ancient tile floor.
"Hermione going?"
Draco finally said, not taking his eyes off the scene in front of him.
"Don't know."
Theo stubbed his butt on the railing and launched it into the square below.
"I'm off,"
he said, swallowing the last of his wine.
"Closing tonight?"
Draco nodded.
"I'll see you tomorrow then."
He looked up and caught Theo's eye. Theo gave him a level stare before wheeling away.
"Perhaps."
Draco smiled out at the night as he heard Theo's footsteps recede.